Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use the promo code ROTOHOOPS when you deposit for a free contest entry today at DraftKings.com. I'm your host, Josh Hayes, joined as always by Benny Ricciardi as we break down the Sunday box scores for fantasy basketball action. You can always find Benny on Twitter at BennyR11 and over at RotoCurve, RotoWire, and as a featured writer on the DraftKings playbook. You can also follow me on Twitter at JoshHayesFS and find me hosting the Fantasy Hoops Insider podcast at thefantasyhoopsinsider.com. Benny, welcome to another fine week of fantasy basketball action.
Yeah, it's, getting into full swing now. We had a Sunday with a lot of games here to talk about. Uh-huh. So, it almost feels like it's full-on basketball season now with NFL winding down.
Yeah, absolutely. So, a lot of interesting things happened over the weekend news-wise and fantasy NBA action-wise. So we'll dive right into it here. We'll start with the news off the top, then we'll go box score by box score and break it all down, and hopefully we'll have everything covered to you in a nice tight bow in about 30 to 45 minutes. So let's go ahead and break that down now here. But before we do that, we got to let you know that the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher for your downloading convenience. So don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, throw us 5 stars, maybe 5.5. Feeling a little extra generous. We would definitely appreciate that. All right, let's go ahead and start with the latest news off the top. Did you happen to catch Damian Lillard going absolute ham sandwich here with 8 trays in that comeback win for 31.7-9 with 2 steals against the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I saw a little bit of it. I definitely was watching the box score and, watching his score go up in some of the fantasy games out there. I think that it's safe to say that he is completely back. People were worried, how long it was going to take him to get back from that injury. He had a slow game in his first game back, and then in the last 3 games, he's just gone absolutely bananas. So I think it's safe to say that if you have Damian Lillard, he should be back in your lineups and, one of those guys that you don't think about and you just play him every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So it looks like he's absolutely ready to roll. I was ready to roll him from game one, even in limited minutes, because they just have such a ineffective offense outside of CJ McCollum. But, all systems go for Damian Lillard, and exciting win for them at home against the OKC there as well. Mark Stein on Twitter is reporting that Joe Johnson is not seeking a buyout. He is an expiring contract, but it's very tough for the Nets to really find a taker that can add $25 million to their payroll at the deadline. So maybe he is not pursuing a buyout now, but I would not be surprised if he actually does end up getting bought out sometime between now and the trade deadline. So obviously this guy's not going to complain about making $25 million, and I wouldn't be in a rush to take a buyout either if I was Joe Johnson. When you know that your market is going to be limited at best for in terms of what you're going to make. I'm sure he'll get a contract next year if he wants to play, but you're really just asking him to take a big old huge pay cut if you do buy him out this year. So I'd be surprised if he actually gets moved at the trade deadline. I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Cavaliers, but I don't think the Cavaliers are going to just randomly send back, you know, 20-something million assets just to make Joe Johnson work.
And I think the big problem that the Nets are going to have is, in order for them to get somebody to take his contract, they're probably going to have to take back a worse contract. So they're honestly better off just either buying him out or letting him just play out the year and getting off their salary cap that way. Because what's the point of trading him if you got to take back a guy who has – they're going to have to take back $25 million in bad contracts, but you got a guy whose contract's going to be off your books after this year anyway. Why, you know, I don't think there's anybody else with expiring contracts that can match that, you know, that they would be willing to make that trade for. There would be no upside in it for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what's the upside for them to make that trade? So.
Right. They're trying to shed themselves of salary and they're still going to have to end up, you know, the way the trade rules work, I think you have to take back like 80% of the contract value that you're trading in order to make it work. So I don't know how they come, like how a team comes up with $20 million that they just want to dump. Brooklyn would be interested in. It's not, you know, it's not that enticing to have $5 million in savings if you don't like any of the assets coming back. So, you know, and it's probably too good of a player or too good of a combination of players either with in that $20 million mix for you to rent, get a, you know, Joe Johnson rental and feel like it's going to be worth it long term. So
yeah, the only way I see Joe Johnson being on another team this year is if he does get bought out. But like I said, why would the Nets do that? You know, like at this point, you might as well just let the guy play out the year and then go his separate ways and take the, you know, $25 million that you were paying him and try to get some other assets, you know, in free agency this offseason to come in.
Yeah, I totally agree with you wholeheartedly. So let's see how that ends up, you know, shaking out overall. But probably a guy who, you know, wouldn't be surprised if then it's chains are tuned, and I won't be surprised if Joe Johnson says thanks but no thanks. So we'll see how that ends up shaking out. Julius Randle for the LA Lakers, according to Mark Medina on Twitter, has been diagnosed with a bone bruise. Did end up gutting out this game, but it looks like he may be in line to miss some time. So this is obviously going to be an air up for those Larry Nance owners, or for people who are looking to stream a decent rebounding power forward option. Randle may be a guy who gets rested a little bit, and you know, the way it was right now, you know, Larry Nance Jr. was already getting more minutes than Julius Randle as it was. So for the most part, he did actually play 27 minutes in this last game, but also did foul out. So how do you see this shaking out overall? Do you still feel like Julius Randle is at some point, like Byron Scott's going to wake up and, you know, give him the starters and minutes that he deserves, or are we always going to have to deal with Larry Nance Jr. for this entire season?
I mean, I think the thing that people really need to understand is it doesn't matter who you think is the better player. Mm-hmm. When you're playing fantasy, who's going to get you the better production? Who's the guy that's there? Like you said, already we have Lance playing more minutes. Nance playing more minutes. So as long as Larry Nance is playing more minutes, and now with this situation, it looks like those minutes might be a little more solidified. If you're looking to put somebody on your team, I mean, Nance is the guy that you got to look at right now. You know, whether or not, I mean, I know you and I talk about it all the time, how we're like, you know, is Randle, you know, playing 20 minutes, getting double doubles? Like, shouldn't this guy be getting more time? But the truth is he isn't. So we can sit here and say he should be all we want, but as long as he's not getting those minutes, you know, you got to look at Nance over him right now. And, you know, that's basically the way it works out. If Nance is a free agent in your league, you know, he's definitely a guy that's worth picking up. He can give you some decent numbers. He's probably going to see 30, 32 minutes right now. And, you know, high-paced offense, team that, you know, tends to play paced-up games. So I think he's a viable option.
All right, let's talk about this really quick here. You know, rest of the season, you have to choose a guy right now to own rest of the way, Randle or Larry Nance Jr.?
I mean, again, like I said, I think Randall's the more talented player, but we don't know how serious this injury is. He does have an injury history. I mean, he missed all last season since he's coming in. If you're asking me who I want in a keeper league, it's definitely going to be Randle. But for the rest of the season, based on what I've seen so far and the way things are going right now, I think Nance probably has a little bit more value.
All right, fair enough. I think I would have to slightly agree with you there as well, but I would hate it overall.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it, but like I said, it's not who we think is better. It's who's going to get us more fantasy production. And right now, that's Nance.
Yeah, absolutely. Emmanuel Mudiay for the Denver Nuggets finally returns after missing 14 games. He comes up with a decent line here. 11 points on 5 of 15 shooting. 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, and a 3. It looks like, you know, they don't really care that he missed 14 games. They're just like, hey, let's go ahead and give you 39 minutes, which is insane. but this is basically, you know, going to force fantasy owners who are enjoying the Jameer Nelson experience to, you know, go ahead and drop him or bench him for the most part. Agreed here?
Yeah, I mean, with Mudiay back, if he's available, I think you pick him up. If you have him, I think you roll him back out there because they're giving him the minutes. And if you're an owner of Jameer Nelson or Randy Foyer and you were, you know, trying to get some cheap points there, I think those days are done right now.
Absolutely. And then the last piece of news that really, really unique over here, Nikola Jokic ends up dropping 9 dimes in this game here with 7 rebounds, 4 points, and 1 block shot. Sorry. The way that I'm going to take a look at this here is we still have an issue in terms of, you know, splitting time at the power forward position. And, you know, what do we do there? That's one thing, thought there. Is one of the other guy, you know, or, you know, is it somebody else in the mix here at the center position that ends up winning this job? Or are we gonna, do you feel like we're going to be looking at a time split all season long?
You know, I think it's a little bit interesting. They just got rid of Konstantin Papanikolaou, who, you know, again, didn't play a lot of minutes, wasn't all that great, but with somebody else that was kind of jamming up the big guy works over there for them. You got Farid, who's been on and off injured throughout the season so far. And, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Darrell Arthur, who, you know, is no spring chicken at this point, playing a ton of minutes for them. So there are minutes there. I mean, all year long, I've been trying to figure out who the Denver big guys to have are going to be, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Jokic or Lavernier or, you know, I mean, I still don't really know, but it is interesting to see him getting the minutes. You know, we talked about him earlier in the year, how we thought that he could be a viable option if he gets the minutes. You know, again, my biggest problem is I don't know how the big man minutes are going to work out with them going forward. So if you have him, I think he's a guy that you kind of hold on to. You know, if he's available and you need somebody that you could throw on your bench, if you're getting rid of somebody who's no longer producing anything, I'd be okay with that. But I wouldn't put too much stock or too much faith into it because right now you really don't know, you know, how that whole big man rotation is going to work out. It feels like every game it's a different big guy who has a good game for Denver, whether it's Jokic or Lavernier or Farid or, you know, Darrell Arthur. So, you know, I don't see enough consistency out of any of those guys to make them think that this is a guy I definitely need going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you there as well. It's sort of a mess to sort of figure out. The one guy you were supposed to be able to count on was Farid. I believe he actually missed this game there, and looks like personal reasons were listed for him. So not an injury, just to narrow.
Yeah, I think his wife was pregnant. I'm not positive on that, but I think that the personal thing was just that, you know, his baby was being born. So he should be back, you know, if not tomorrow, by the next game. And I don't think it's anything that's going to have a lasting, other than the lack of sleep, as you and I both know with little ones. yeah. I don't think it's anything that's going to have a lasting effect on him throughout the season.
All right, fair enough. And he didn't actually miss Friday and Sunday. we'll look for him to get back into action. Denver Nuggets are not playing on Monday, so we should give him an extra day to get everything sorted out family-wise. Hopefully everything is good, and congratulations to him if that's the case. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the news here for the most part. Let's go ahead and dive into the box scores for Sunday. 9 games to take a look at here. We're going to start up at the top at the New Orleans Pelicans and the LA Clippers. Nothing new here in New Orleans Pelicans. Drop another game. And I saw a lot of fantasy owners here or DFS players who have been like quite frustrated with the fact that that Brow has been super consistent. He gets the DMP due to a back contusion. Overall, are you done with Brow in, you know, in terms of like expecting him to hold, you know, top 5, top 10 status the rest of the way in season long leagues? Or do you think because of the injuries and because of all the, sort of fluky stuff that's happened to him this season, that you can maybe make a case for him being buy low?
Well, here's the problem that you have with him is when he plays, he produces. You know, there's no arguments about it. He's one of the best players in the NBA. The problem is, as we're finding out this year, is that he's very frail and, you know, at any point in time, he could wind up getting injured. Now, if you took him in your season-long draft, he was definitely a first-round pick, probably a top-five pick for you. Right now, I don't think you're going to get top-five value out of him. So if you wanted to trade him, you know, you're not going to be able to trade him for a LeBron or a Kevin Durant or a Russell Westbrook. I don't think the owners of those guys are going to want to mess with, you know, the injury situation that he's been having. So if you're looking to get rid of him right now, what are you really going to get back? You can't expect to get back a top-tier kind of guy. So I guess that would make him a buy-low candidate if you can offer the Brow owner in your league, you know, a deal or a package of guys that he would be willing to accept, as long as you're not giving up your, you know, first-round stud. With that being said, you know, how much faith do I have in him for the rest of the year? I think that what we've seen from him is what we're going to see for the rest of the year. When he plays, he's going to put up numbers for you, but there are going to be games where, you know, there's going to be stretches of the season where two or three games here, two or three games there, you're going to be without him. There's going to be games where he plays 15 minutes and then, you know, sets a screen on somebody and somebody runs into him and he goes back to the locker room. So I don't know if he's worth what you need to pay for him in order to get him for the rest of the year if he's going to be playing like this. But I mean, if you have him on your team, to me, you just kind of keep him, even though it's kind of a crappy situation. You keep him and you keep rolling him out there when he plays. And when he doesn't play, you know, you sit him on the bench and you try to make do with what you have. I don't really think that you're going to be able to trade him for anything near fair value. So I think you're just kind of stuck with him at this point.
All right, fair enough. I can see the case being made for that approach overall. To me, I'm okay with him with a buy low if you can get if you can pay like a second round price tag on him overall.
I mean, like I said, if the Brow owner in your league is willing to get rid of him, if he's just had enough and they'll trade him for, you know, somebody who wasn't your first round pick or somebody who's not your top overall player. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely do it. I still think that the guy's got a ton of upside when he plays. I just think that he's going to be a very frustrating player that's going to be on your team for the rest of the year if you do it that way.
Yeah, fair enough. anything else that you want to mention or we can learn from these this box score from these two teams?
I mean, with him out, you saw a lot of minutes for, like, Ryan Anderson and Dante Cunningham. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. But, you know, obviously Ryan Anderson, if he was one of those guys that you had on the bench, you know, as long as he's out, I think you can roll Ryan Anderson every day in there. You know, Tariq Evans is going to be taking on the biggest load, so I think he gets a bump up. You know, again, if you have Tariq on your team, you're probably rolling him out there every day. One of the interesting stat lines that I saw here was Omer Asik, who finally played 26 minutes in this game, had 8 points and 11 rebounds, which is pretty solid for, you know, a guy who had been dropped in most leagues because of the lack of production and lack of minutes. So he's probably the only interesting guy that I'm really looking at here. And then the other thing that I wanted to say to people, I mean, Drew Holiday is not starting yet, but that doesn't really matter. He is playing 30 to 35 minutes. They lifted the minutes restriction on him, and he's putting up some big numbers as well right now. So those are a couple of the things that I'm looking at. If I can get Holiday for cheap, you know, he was probably a guy who was a late-round flyer for most people because he was hurt at the beginning of the year, or might have even been a guy that was on waivers in your league. So if you picked him up and you got him cheap, I think, you know, right now that he's playing well and his minutes and all that, and he has people interested in him, it might be a good time to see if you can flip him for a guy who is, you know, like maybe a third to fifth round draft pick or something like that. If you can get one of those kind of guys for Holiday who you probably picked up off waivers or got late in the draft as a flyer, I think, you know, that would be a good situation. Or even if you wanted to keep him, you know, the numbers he's been putting up lately makes him a viable option. You know, I mean, he's a guy that's a triple-double threat because he can get you the assist, he rebounds very well for a point guard, and he can score. So, you know, I definitely think that Drew Holiday is somebody that I'm interested in and trying to see if I can acquire, you know, whether it be through free agency or through trade in a lot of the leagues that I'm in.
All right, fair enough. Before we move on to the next box score, I want to let you know that it's still plenty of time for you to join the fantasy action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy basketball partner of RotoWire. With daily fantasy, you don't need to spend months micromanaging a roster, playing whenever you want, pick a new team every time you play, challenge your friends in a custom league to prove you're the superior GM, or square off against the basketball fans from around the country for big prices. So go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code ROTOHOOPS to play free. DraftKings, the official partner of RotoWire. That's promo code ROTOHOOPS at DraftKings.com. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next box score that we have on tap here, Benny. And if I could pull it up, that would be something that would be very useful for me. If I can't pull it up, then that's going to be the rest of the show. So there we go. Got it. Dallas at Minnesota. Dallas wins 93-87 here. Any takeaways for fantasy value from this box score?
Yeah, I kind of felt like this game was a lot lower scoring than I thought it was going to be. I was expecting a few more points here. And there's actually something that I don't really know why it's happening right now, but I kind of want to get your take on it because I think it's something important to talk about. Karl-Anthony Towns goes from looking like a superstar last week to basically looking like a guy who, you know, I wouldn't even want on a 10-team roster this week. You know, he had, what, 10 points, 4 rebounds in this game, played only 25 minutes. Whereas last week we saw games out of him where he scored 25 and 14. I mean, is this kind of erratic up and down, you know, 1 week good performance, 1 week bad performance? Like, is this what we're going to be expecting out of this guy for the rest of the year? Because I really felt like he had turned that corner. And now, I don't know. Like, I don't know, you know, if I have the same faith in him going forward for the rest of the season that I thought I had last week when, you know, he looked like he was one of the best centers in the league.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think that he's got a little bit of the rookie wall situation got going on, and I think it's actually could be compounded by Nikola Pekovic returning there as well. So, in my mind, I think this is just what you're going to sort of get the rest of the way. You're going to get a week plus stretch of monster performances, and you're going to get another stretch where you're like, ooh, 8 points, you know, and 5 rebounds or something like that. You're just not going to really be excited with what he did. You know, he didn't do terrible. He was efficient. It's like, you know, 5 of 9 with 4 rebounds and, you know, an assist and a steal, 2 blocks. But you don't want it. What you don't want to see is him with a guy like Ricky Rubio, Shabazz Muhammad, you know, all getting more shots than he does in this offense. So that's sort of on Ricky Rubio, for one, for him shooting more than Karl-Anthony Towns, which should just basically never happen. And, you know, on that, it's also on the coaches, you know, for him to, like, you know, be limited to only 25 minutes when he only had 3 personal fouls. There's really no reason why, you know, the future of your franchise, along with Andrew Wiggins, should be limited to that unless he's hitting the rookie wall or he's tired or, you know, potentially hurt. So I think this is something you're just going to sort of suffer through the rest of the way. And speaking of Nikola Pekovic, he plays 15 minutes in this game, does get 4 points, 1 rebound. Right now it sort of looks like it's just coming at the expense of Kevin Garnett. You would hope that they don't play, you know, too many minutes, you know, in favor of him, at the expense of Karl-Anthony Towns, but they both are centers. There, and Nikola Pekovic really isn't a guy that you can sort of, you know, play at the power forward position alongside Karl-Anthony Towns, but you can shift Karl-Anthony Towns to the four. So well, that's something that we'll also have to keep an eye on, ours peeled on, and see what ends up happening there as well. On the Dallas side there, not too much to make note of other than, you know, Darren Williams is back healthy. He is probably going to still get rested periodically. J.J. Barrera and Raymond Felton, who, you know, guys who were popular pickups last week, are back to, you know, deep league status only. And then you got JaVale McGee getting in the mix here. You know, he may be like a good cheap source of blocks, but don't expect him to get too many minutes overall. Did play 16 minutes in this last game, you know, 8 points, 4 rebounds. Didn't actually have a block in this game, but, you know, really only deep league only option. It's all that we can really learn overall from this box score. Agreed here in terms of Dallas, sort of just, you know, you got what you got with the starters and the bench guys not really viable in standard leagues.
Yeah, I think that I like some of these starters on Dallas a little more than other people do, and I wouldn't mind trying to pick some of them up on the cheap in a trade. Like Zaza's been putting up double-doubles basically in like his last 6 or 7 games. He's averaging little over, you know, he's not going to get you huge. He's not going to go like 20 and 15, but he's getting you like, you know, 13, 14, 15 points, 10, 11, 12 rebounds every game. And, you know, that's solid and consistent center production that you're getting there. I think that Parsons is starting to round it out and get back into shape a little bit more. He's still a little up and down, but, you know, I think that he's a 15 to 20 point a game scorer that can add some other stats for you. So I think that people are still, you know, haven't really completely caught up to the fact that he's pretty much back to what he has been. And then Dirk Nowitzki has been really picking up his scoring over the last couple games. It feels like he's taking a few more shots, taking more of the offense on his back. I mean, look at this game. He had 22 shot attempts. Darren Williams had 10 shot attempts. He was the only other guy that took double-digit shots. So, you know, Dirk took twice as many shots, more than twice as many shots as anybody else on the team. So, again, I think that people still undervalue him because he's an old man at this point, but Dirk's still getting it done. So, you know, if I could pick up any of those guys on the cheap where, you know, as a throw-in in a trade that somebody else doesn't value as highly as I do, I think I would be looking to do that.
All right, fair enough. Let's go ahead and move on to the next box score that we have on tap. And, you know, this is working out actually perfect for me. Every time I'm ready to move, the screen freezes for me. This is like a perfect scenario. So, okay, flipping back here. Okay, now we got it. Boston versus Memphis. Memphis handles their business. Close game overall, 98-101 win. Let's talk about your thoughts on fantasy analysis for the Sunday box score here.
Yeah, Memphis to me has been a tough team to kind of figure out because, you know, we talked about how they go with that four wide set right now where they're going with Jeff Green at the four and Matt Barnes at the three. But if you look here, you also got Zach Randolph again throwing in another 35, 38 minute performance here. So as long as we have, you know, him playing a lot of minutes, I think Zach Randolph's a guy that's back in play for me. Jeff Green hasn't really been producing, so I know people loved him, but, you know, kind of off of that whole situation now. And then with Conley being out, I think for now you got, you know, Chalmers has been putting up some pretty good games. I don't think it's going to last all season, but, you know, if you can pick him up right now to get some cheap minutes for the next week or so until Conley comes back, I think that's about as much as I'm looking at on the Memphis side.
All right, so for me, yeah, Jeff Green continues to disappoint overall, so I'm just going to completely slow my roll in terms of using him for DFS and using him and expect him to do more with what he's got at that, you know, that stretch four position. So they're still going with it, but actually Zach Randolph is a guy who, you know, won the day and owned this game here with 25-13, so he's still viable and probably still more viable than a, you know, a player of Jeff Green's caliber at this point. And then on the other side here, for the Boston Celtics, not too much to, you know, really make note of. Amir Johnson got some good run here. Jay Crowder, you know, played 30 minutes, does what he normally does. You would like some score a little bit more, but chipped in all around, and same sort of situation here. You know, Solinger, Olenek playing 22, 25 minutes, and David Lee coming up with another 15 minutes, so not something that you're terribly excited for if you're playing on, you know, expecting for consistent production from their bigs there, sort of status quo in that spot. All right, before we move on to the next box score, we have to let you beloved pod listeners know that if you haven't subscribed to rotowire.com, now is the time to do so. If you like the advice of our fantasy podcast, you're going to love our website, so you can try it for free on a 10-day trial at rotowire.com/pod and get lineup optimizers for all your DFS sports that you love, MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, college football, and soccer, up-to-the-minute depth charts, customizable league projections, and complete draft kits for all the major sports in NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, and those draft kits are available online in magazine format and more. So make sure you check it out, rotowire.com, free 10-day trial. Tell them Benny and Josh sent you, and we'll pretty sure that you'll be able to enjoy it, and once you sign up, you'll have the information that we have that we use for our analysis for our DFS and season-long leagues, and you'll be ready to roll. All right, next box score up on tap. I'm actually ready this time. Can you believe it? Cleveland at Philadelphia. 95-85 win here. A little bit surprised that Cleveland didn't handle business in a more efficient fashion, but other than that, what can we learn in terms of fantasy value here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, LeBron James was very, very good, but I think we already knew LeBron James was good. I think the only thing that I've really kind of learned here, or the only thing that I think is of note, is that Jahlil Okafor is back to getting big minutes. And Nerlens Noel is still getting big minutes as well. You know, Nerlens hadn't been playing as many minutes before Okafor went out. When Ish Smith came in, him and Ish really, you know, showed a spark together. So I think the three guys at this point on Philly who are the three guys you want anywhere near your rosters are Ish Smith, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, and I don't think I would mess with anybody else on that team.
Yep, I agree with you there as well. And nothing to really note on the Cavs side either out of this matchup here overall. I mean, Kevin Love had a decent game here. Tristan Thompson is getting the majority of the minutes, and, you know, Vergel draws a DNP. Timofey Mozgov is playing his 9 minutes now, so he's not really a viable option. And then, you know, Mo Williams got DNP'd here, but I believe this is sort of related to the thumb injury, not an actual DNP CD. So,
yeah, the only real thing that stands out for me for the Cavs is that, you know, you just mentioned it too. It was like Tristan Thompson has basically taken over the starting center role from Mozgov. That's really the only thing of note here. I don't think, Mozgov is somebody that I would still want on my teams if I had him. And I would be perfectly okay picking up Tristan Thompson now, because this isn't just a one-game thing. We've now seen this over a couple games that he's pretty much their starting center and probably their best interior player as well. So I think that's the only thing I would take from this moving forward.
All right, and we will move forward ourselves here to the Indiana Pacers with a 103-107 loss to the Houston Rockets at home here. Let's talk about some fantasy value that we can derive out of this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George had a really bad first half. You know, he didn't play all that well. And then came out in the third quarter and just, you know, assists. I think he wound up with like 7 steals in this game. Yeah, 7 steals. You know, so he really helped you out in that category. Only had 20 points. I was expecting this to be a little bit higher scoring. I know, you know, both teams got it over 100, but with these two teams, I did expect a lot more scoring here. Monta Ellis, 13 assists. I don't really think that's something that's repeatable. He's never really been known as a guy who, you know, racks up assists and creates a lot for other players. So not much going on there. You know, Jan Mahinmi is playing some big minutes, but, you know, not really anything with huge upside. And then on the Houston side of the ball, you know, I think it's still a mess with their big guy situation. You know, Dwight Howard played 42 minutes, but if you were looking for guys like Clint Capella or Terrence Jones to really do something, they haven't really been doing much. With Lawson out, you are seeing more minutes out of Beverly. He's not giving you huge production, but I think that he can definitely be a nice fill-in guy right now because he's playing a lot of minutes without Lawson out. And then, you know, the usual. If you have, you know, Harden on your team, you're probably starting him. Ariza's a decent small forward, you know, middle to, you know, mid-tier kind of play if he's somebody on your team. Other than that, I didn't really learn anything new. You know, Beverly's about the only guy that I think I'm ticking up based on recent information.
Yeah, and for Philly, Nick Stauskas is starting to get shooting guard starters minutes, but he's not really doing a ton with it overall. So, I mean, maybe a deep league only option, but, you know, Robert Covington off the bench actually, you know, was actually more useful of a player than Nick Stauskas. So something else to note there. See if they can get, you know, Covington back rolling here in a different role. All right, next box score up on tap here, the Milwaukee Bucks at the New York Knicks here. New York takes the win at home at 100-88. Milwaukee Bucks continue to struggle here throughout the season, very inconsistent overall, and still haven't figured out, you know, how to consistently play the players in their starting rotation. Somebody ends up suffering every single time. This time it's Michael Carter-Williams. He goes 1 of 8, very inefficient there, just four points, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. Overall, Jabari Parker continues to do what he can with limited minutes, you know, 14 and 6 within 32 minutes played, but, you know, didn't get the shot attempts that Greg Monroe or Chris Middleton ended up getting there as well. So anything else that we need to know about this matchup?
I mean, like you said, it's so hard to figure this team out because last week you had MCW going absolutely crazy for near triple-doubles every night. You know, Middleton has probably been the solidest guy, mostly because of the minutes. I mean, he's still playing like 36 to 40 minutes a game. So I think that he's the guy who is probably the solidest of everybody on this team to look at. And he's taking his shots and putting up his points and all that stuff. But other than that, I mean, you never really know what's going to happen. Is Parker going to have a good game? Is Giannis going to have a good game? Is Greg Monroe going to have a good game? Is, you know, Chris Middleton going to have a good game? I mean, you know, whatever it is, it is. I mean, you know, it's just so hard to figure it that it's tough to figure it for fantasy purposes because, you know, we've seen it different. The one thing I do like is they are playing a little bit paced up, so that kind of ticks up everybody a little bit on the team, which kind of gives you a little bit of a better floor on everybody. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I really don't know which way to take it. I mean, like I said, MCW played 22 minutes this game after scoring, you know, 30, 40 fantasy points last week. It's just there's too much uncertainty.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there as well. The only thing that really we need to note is OJ Mayo missed this game here with a sore left hamstring, and it looked like, you know, Rashad Vaughn picked up the majority of the backup minutes, and Jared Bayless got, it says DNP CD, so if that's the case, then he isn't really viable too as a backup option. As, you know, that was a guy who was actually getting starters minutes over MCW when MCW was struggling, and he struggled again in this matchup, so. Hard to tell how it ends up shaking out, but we probably don't want two shares of anybody else besides the starters. All right, Charlotte up next here. They lose 92-95 to the Denver Nuggets. We talked about Manuel Mudiay coming back in this matchup and how that affected Jameer Nelson, who also ended up sitting, I believe, due to injury. It does say he's DNP CD, but I think the news on him was actually a hip injury. So we'll check on it. We'll sort of keep tabs on that, but I think that we have to sort of be invested in Mudiay going forward. Any other reaction here in terms of fantasy value for this matchup?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'll go through real quick. Cody Zeller is a viable option as long as Big Al and Spencer Hawes are out or not playing all that many minutes. Don't think he's going to give you huge upside, but I do think he's worth an add and shouldn't be on the waiver wire in anybody's leagues, 10 team or above. On the other side, I think the thing that stands out most to me with Denver is Danilo Gallinari is their best player, and he's going to be getting the shots, he's going to be getting the minutes, and he's going to be the guy who produces the most. I think the guy who got hurt the most by him coming back is obviously Will Barton. We haven't seen a big Will Barton game basically since, you know, Gallo came back. He's lost a couple minutes, and he's lost a lot of his, you know, when he's on the floor that he was kind of like the main guy or the guy that they were looking to get shots for. I mean, Gary Harris is still playing more minutes than Will Barton. I guess that's a defensive thing. I guess they figure Barton can't guard two guards. But I would almost be trying to get Barton and Gallinari on the floor together because I think they're two of my better players. Again, you talked about the point guard thing already with Mudiay back and, you know, Jameer Nelson being banged up and, you know, Foye being the backup and that whole mess and situation now. And then we talked about the power forwards and the centers and the big guys with Jokic and Arthur and, you know, Lavernier and Nurkic before we even started getting into all this stuff. So I think at the big guy spot, there's just too many options. I think Barton is a guy that's no longer the stud that he was. If you can trade him right now and still get something for him, I would definitely do it. And I think Gallo is the one guy on this team that I would want on any of my fantasy teams because it looks like he's going to be the big dog for them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there as well. So, aside from that, I think it's all status quo here. Not too much to keep in mind. Jeremy Lin had been doing a very nice job overall, filling in, giving you starters minutes and starters level production. So as long as that continues to be the case when he is in the lineup, you like him. But then when he's out of the lineup for whatever reason, he struggled in this game. I'm willing to throw that out. I think he's 14-team/12-team that. Viable depending on that matchup, even with the bad game. So I'm not going to worry about it too much. And we've already talked about the merry-go-round happening at the front court position for Denver. So we can move on to the game that we previously mentioned at the top of the show here. Portland at Oklahoma City. They come back in a huge way on the heels of Damian Lillard going absolute nutso from beyond the arc. Any other reactions to either of these rotations here in this matchup?
Yeah, well, with Lillard back, basically Lillard and McCollum are the only two guys on Portland that I think we really want to have or that are viable. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
All right, so we can pretty much move on from Portland at that point. If you have Lillard or McCollum, make sure they're in your lineups. Nothing else really matters. For OKC, obviously, you know, Westbrook, Durant, if you took them, they're probably your first-round pick. Those guys are playing. You know, Ibaka's been okay. Now, here's the only interesting thing I see on OKC. You know, everybody got all excited 2 weeks ago when Kanter had two or three really good games off the bench, but he still only played like 20, 25 minutes in each one of those. Steven Adams played 35 minutes in this game, and Kanter played 12. So is it fair to say that Steven Adams is the big guy that you want from Oklahoma City if you're going to take one of those two between him and Kanter. Because right now, I don't think I want Kanter on any of my teams, but I wouldn't mind having Adams, you know, if I'm in a deeper league for the rebounding and the, you know, the blocks and the points that he can get you there.
The way I think this is, you need to take a look at this here is, it sort of depends on what you're looking for, because from like a scoring perspective and an overall upside perspective, and even with Steven Adams producing pretty well, going, I mean, he went 6 of 6 and shot 9 free throws, which is not normal for him, you know, to him to, but you know that the Portland has like the worst, maybe the worst front line in the NBA in terms of, you know, having, you know, solid defenders or guys who are, who can be rim protectors as well as scorers on the opposite end. So they don't provide a big threat and they don't defend it too particularly well either there. So, I mean, I know Kanter had a down game, only scored 5 points and 6 rebounds, but to me, they're sort of, it's actually a coin toss because we've seen plenty of games where Kanter with, you know, 20 to 23 minutes ends up outproducing or, you know, Steven Adams in terms of fantasy value. So there's that. So they just bring different dimensions. If you need a more of a shot blocker or a better rebounder, so a banging type, Adams is definitely the guy that you want. But if you need a little bit more scoring punch out of your center position or power forward, depending on, you know, where he's eligible for Enes Kanter, then I think you roll there. So you just need to take a look at your roster and your team and decide what is more valuable to you, because I think both of them are viable. I do own shares of both of them, to be honest, in different leagues and I for different reasons. So I think that's the way that you need to approach that. All right, last game on tap here, Utah at the LA Lakers. They end up winning the game 86-74. Looks like a third quarter score, but it's not a typo. They actually finished the game with, you know, 160 points total there. So if you bet the under, you were good. And if you expected a lot of production from the Lakers, you were sad because, you know, they did what they normally do. Kobe Bryant is suffering from an Achilles strain. Brandon Bassett not dressed. He has a corneal abrasion. And D'Angelo Russell still battling a sprained ankle. And then we talked about what happened with Julius Randle, you know, and that injury that could linger and what that means for Larry Nance, who ended up playing 37 minutes in double-doubled, 11 and 10. So that's pretty much what you need to know from the Lakers' perspective. Mm-hmm. Overall, I mean, the guys who played shot bad, but that's nothing new overall. So I don't think anybody's surprised by that. Anthony Brown's still getting a ton of runs, still stinks, so nothing to note there. Anything on the Utah side that you want to talk about before we put a bow on the show?
Well, yeah, I mean, you got Rudy Gobert coming back, so that's always going to help them. Actually, what I think the big deal with Gobert coming back is not so much his fantasy production as it is the fact that, as we saw here, by them holding LA to only 75 points, is it's going to affect how other teams play against them. So if you have some streaming options and you have two guys, one of them happens to be going up against Utah, probably a better idea to look at the other guy if the two of them are close or, you know, not too far off from each other. Other than that, though, I mean, not much that I see here. You know, Rodney Hood has been banged up in and out of the lineup, but he's basically their second leading scorer at this point, with Gordon Hayward being the guy who's handling the most of the situation. And, you know, until they get Favors back, I mean, that's basically what we have right now for them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there as well. So, Rudy Gobert, I mean, doesn't perform particularly well, but I think the air was up on him. If anybody, you know, was a little bit disappointed in what he's done so far or wants to sell, I think he's still easily, I mean, hands down, top 10 center, and you can still make a case for top 5 just on rebounding and defensive value. And, you know, he got the majority of the minutes, but I expect the rebounding and, you know, all the rest of the production to tick upward from here. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Don't forget, you can always check out the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball podcast 5 days a week on iTunes and Stitcher for your downloading convenience. You can always check out Benny on Twitter at BennyR11 and me on Twitter at JoshHayesFS. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out all the rest of the shows brought to you by DraftKings.com the rest of the week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.